Sharon Isbin is a Grammy Award-winning guitarist. She's the winner of Guitar Player magazine's Best Classical Guitarist Award. She's performed at leading concert halls across the world. And in the States, she's the creator of Juilliard's guitar program. Isbin started playing guitar when she was 9. She toured Europe as a teenager and studied with the legendary Andrés Segovia. Recently, Isbin sat down with Steve Paulson to talk about one of her favorite works, the Concierto de Aranjuez of Rodrigo.
I was a winner of the Queen Sofia competition in 1979, and Rodrigo happened to hear on the radio the broadcast of his concerto in the winner's performance and tracked me down to meet him. And I came to his home, played the concerto for him. We worked on it together, and that was the beginning of a 20-year friendship. An extraordinary man and someone who gave a great gift not only to the guitar world, because this piece, the Concierto de Aranjuez, is one of the most beautiful, certainly in our literature, but it's one of the most popular for any work of instrument and orchestra.
Wasn't that piece very much rooted in his own experience?
Yes, it was touched by the cosmos, really, when he wrote this. He was going through a deep personal tragedy. He and his wife were expecting what would have been their first child, and she had a miscarriage. They were mourning that loss, but she also became very, very ill, and nobody knew if she would live or die. So he would come back just feeling terrible from this whole experience each night from the hospital, unable to sleep, and he would sit at the piano, and what began to emerge as he tried to console himself was the beautiful theme of the slow movement that we've all come to love, the adagio, and what he was thinking in his mind and why the title came to be Concierto de Aranjuez. That's where he and his wife had taken their honeymoon, and he was remembering walking hand in hand with her and feeling this sense of great love and beauty and joy, but imbued with this extraordinary sense of pain and loss at the same time. And that's why people can relate to the piece across all cultures, because it speaks to the real essence of human emotion as well as the deep passion of the Spanish soul.
And that second movement in that piece is so powerful, so moving. So when you play that piece, what do you call on in yourself? Do you feel deep emotions?
Well, you know, it's a work that is inspired by the cante hondo tradition of flamenco, which is the flamenco singer with a cry going back deep into the persecution and oppressions of history of the people, of the gypsies. And that second movement, the guitarist really becomes the singer, whereas they were the flamenco accompaniment beforehand in the first movement. And with that is a tremendous opportunity to explore the lyricism of the instrument, the cry between the notes like a singer can get. You can't do that on a piano. You can do it on a violin, but not on an instrument where the notes are separated. And I love having that opportunity because the voice has always been my inspiration. I grew up certainly playing this piece, but an experience in my own life made it even a deeper one when I learned my brother, who had been ill with AIDS for a number of years, and it turned out the night before he died, I found out that he had chosen my recording of the slow movement to be played at his memorial service. And I hadn't known that because he had told that to a friend. What was really quite remarkable about this is that though I had played the piece hundreds of times, 2 days later was the only time, and still remains the only time in my life, where I was engaged to play just that slow movement. It was for a performance in Washington with the Baltimore Symphony as part of some kind of potpourri event. And my first thought was, there's no way I can even think about giving a performance. But I realized, knowing that this was his wish, it was almost as if upon command. So You know, I remember people coming up to me afterwards with tears streaming down their faces, and they had no idea what I was going through, but it was clearly being communicated.
Can you take me back to the moment when you fell in love with a guitar?
I think that it was such an exotic experience as a 9-year-old child living in Italy for the first time, away from the streets of Minneapolis where I grew up, and being in a totally new environment. My older brother had said he wanted guitar lessons when our family went on sabbatical to Italy. My parents researched, found that there was a terrific teacher who had studied with Segovia, toured all over Italy. My brother went in for the interview and immediately realized this was not going to be Elvis Presley. This was the wrong department. So he bowed out, and my parents said, well, someone's got to study with this guy. And I, out of family duty, not having a clue what classical guitar was, but being a lover of folk music and figuring it couldn't be all that bad, said, I will. And it almost got derailed from the start because I had to study sight singing before for 2 weeks, and I kind of plodded through that, and the only reason I stuck with it is that my parents had taken me to get my guitar made, and that was part of the falling in love process, because here, instead of playing on a keyboard that 50 other little kids used for their lessons, I was going to get my own instrument, and went off into the countryside where the guitar maker lived, ambled up the rickety stairs of his chicken coop with chickens fluttering all around. He measured my hands, and a couple of weeks later, I had my own instrument. And I can just remember smelling the wood and really being excited about something that was quite unusual, that would never have happened had I not left the shores of the United States.
Well, the way you describe this, it's such a tactile experience. I mean, just the possession of your own guitar,
right,
and the way it felt, the way it smelled.
Well, you cradle it. It becomes part of you. You feel the vibration of the wood against you. And there's, unlike any other instrument, there's nothing separating you from the sound production. So there's no bow, there are no pedals, there are no keys, there's no reed. And your fingers of the right hand touch the strings. And depending on how much flesh or nail you use or at what angle or what position, that will produce the actual soul or sound of the instrument, with a huge, huge variety of colors that are possible, ranging from very metallic to very, very dolce.
But still, I would guess that for a kid to fall in love with a classical guitar, that's kind of unusual. I mean, most children who have dreams of musical careers think of rock and roll or something like that.
Well, that's why in the United States, things were quite different, because kids came to classical guitar only after they'd been playing rock and roll. So it was mostly teenage boys. And that hasn't changed a whole lot now when you think of the number of players that are American. Most of them still are male.
Why has there been such a strong tradition of this being an instrument that men play?
Well, I think part of it is the association with flamenco music, and there you have that macho tradition of the flamenco guitarist accompanying the dancers, and to this day, most flamenco guitarists still are men.
And so the dancers can be women.
The dancers can be women and men.
Yeah.
The singers can be men and women, but the guitarist is always a guy. And then just the whole tradition of who started the classical world. It was Segovia and his predecessors. They were all men. So the most visible icon for the longest time in the classical guitar world was Segovia, and then the next generation that followed him. And there were really very, very few female role models in that world.
So was this difficult for you when you first were breaking in as an international artist? I mean, when orchestras
you know
would say, oh, she's a woman.
I had so many other battles on my hand that that never really dawned on me. And I'm being honest, because I think that even putting the guitar in front of an orchestra was something revolutionary.
Now, you are a New Yorker, I know, and you played a concert after 9/11, didn't you?
I was asked a few days before the memorial on September 11th, 1 year after the horrible tragedy, if I would be part of the reading of the names by bringing music to accompany that at Ground Zero. And it was clearly one of the most powerful experiences I will have ever had in my life. I didn't know if I'd be able to hold up under the circumstances and emotionally be able to do it. But the moment I walked out in front of the 24,000 family members and survivors who showed up, many of whom were holding up pictures of their lost loved ones, I knew immediately that this was something they needed more than anything else, healing. And that's why I was here. And that's what music was all about.
Sharon Isbin talked with Steve Paulson. Isbin is a Grammy Award-winning classical guitarist who performs in leading concert halls around the world. Her new CD is called Baroque Favorites for Guitar.